the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
Welcome back. Settle in. We are back in action on Walk It Off. It's been a little while, yeah. So we're happy to be back in your headphones wherever you may be listening. I'm Dani Wexelman alongside Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. It's Tuesday, so it's National Taco Day, but there are a couple more important things going on in the baseball world. It is the 1,472nd postseason game being played on Tuesday between the Blue Jays and the Orioles. The Orioles headed up to Toronto, and it's the Battle of the Birds. We've got the Blue Jays, nice. The Orioles fighting for a spot. They wanna play the Rangers. One of those teams is going to face the Rangers. And before we kick things off, we've got to talk World Series predictions. I've been waiting all day for this. And I stole a line from the Cut 4 podcast, so Gemma, thank you for letting me do that. It's one of the best things I think that you guys have come up with segment-wise. I love it. So in 140 characters, who's winning? Who's going to the World Series and who's winning? Ashley, go.
Okay, my tweet is, and I've said this before, so I feel bad, but I did make it up and I didn't see it anywhere else, but I'm going to use it again.
We'll fact check you later.
Yes, fact check. Good luck. All roads lead to a fiery death, a.k.a. Chicago. That's the winner, and that's my sorrow, and that's, like, I mean, nothing matters. I'm in one of those terrible, like, oh, yeah, well, I hope the Giants beat the Mets, but who cares? Like,
nothing matters.
Kidding. No, but really,
it's a dark tweet.
I'm assuming this is all the tweet, and it's just a tweet storm that you post at 2 o'clock
well,
in the morning.
I'm always storming.
And it's really, and we're all like, is Ashley okay?
It's just hashtag storming on the end of it.
Okay, yes. All roads lead to a fiery death, a.k.a. Chicago, hashtag storming.
Gemma?
That's good.
Hashtag better than, never mind.
You're cut off.
I think mine will be, oh, well, okay, so I don't know if you guys saw this today, but there was a preview of the Sports Illustrated cover.
Right,
That said, winner of the 2016 World Series, Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
So this is what my tweet is. It's going to be, thanks, at SI now. Curse not broken. 2016 World Series winners, the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
Serena's very happy.
I would have flipped it around, but look, that is a curse. You know it's a curse
to predict that kind of business on
Sports Illustrated.
That's true.
I had to write mine down. I can't remember mine. The hashtag Cubs, because I don't use enough hashtags in my tweets. The hashtag Cubs better not mess this up. And this is coming from a hashtag Cardinals fan.
Yeah,
hashtag Midwest is best. Hashtag Brizzo.
Oh,
waving a magic wand around.
So many hashtags.
That's a lot of hashtags, but you know you got to get them all out if you don't use them all the time.
We've got to mention the Cubs haven't won since 1908, as you said.
Yeah.
The Indians since 1948, and the Rangers have never won. I'd like to see a Red Sox Cubs World Series.
I'd be happy to see the Rangers get there. I just think the Red Sox are really good, so we'll see. But also,
you've got to get past the Indians.
But it's also the postseason, and anything could happen because
that's true.
It's, you know,
everything starts over as of today.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Starting Tuesday.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's time to play a little trend or trash postseason edition. You guys, we're kicking things off with the Orioles and their affinity for the long ball. Okay, they're heading to Toronto, so trend or trash their addiction to the home run and how it's going to come into effect in this AL wild card game.
Well, I don't want to trash the Orioles because I like the Orioles and I want them to beat the Blue Jays, but I'm going to trash this because I'm more of a pitching duel kind of gal, and I don't think you can go very far just long ball alone. So I think they'll beat Toronto, but I think that's going to be the extent of it.
Gemma?
I'm going to trend this just so we can talk about it a little bit
more.
Like, in general, that is how the Orioles built themselves at the beginning of the season. They're just picking up all these guys who are sluggers, and that's what they do.
They led the majors with 253 home runs.
And they're in the postseason now, so it didn't necessarily fail as a strategy.
Yeah, they were surprisingly making it the entire time.
So I would like the Blue Jays to win this game because I think we all deserve a Blue Jays-Rangers rematch. But
kind of you, Gemma.
It's for the people.
It's for the people, obviously.
Yes.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly. But so I think we should trend this because the Blue Jays are also kind of a home run team, you know?
Yeah, they are.
So that's going to be interesting to see how they square up.
Yeah. Okay, so I have some numbers for you. So Marcus Stroman, who's on the mound for the Jays, has given up 21 home runs this season. Francisco Liriano, who many said should have started the game, has given up 7. And then Chris Tillman, who's on the mound for the Orioles, has given up 9 home runs on the road and 19 this season. So a few thoughts in my mind. Obviously, home runs make the game exciting and great. But I also think that it's really going to come down to pitching. I think at the end of the day, I think that the Orioles will still rely on it, but whoever's pitching steps up to the plate,
well,
if you want to say.
Sure. If the Orioles can pick up a lead, they've got Zach Britton.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah, once you get to that point.
An AL Cy Young contender, I would hope so.
Yeah.
So I'm going to trend the fact that they live on the long ball and see how far that it actually gets them.
That was good. They live in the long ball, see how far it can get them.
You're full of it today.
You know what? Today's my day.
You are full of it today.
Because it's National Taco Day. I'm going to go get tacos later.
Yes.
Okay, trend or trash. So we're going to talk a little Joey Votto. Joey Votto he said something. And I want to know if it was out of context or not. But basically, he said, personally, until Mike Trout came into the league, I thought every year I would be in the conversation for best player of the game, and he effed that up for everybody, Babe Ruth and Ted Williams included. He's ruining it for everybody. And I would have loved to hear him say it, because you can't hear it, you can only read it. So trend or trash, Joey Votto, in my opinion, whining about Mike Trout and his excellence.
We're a united front on this one.
We love Joey Votto.
We will kill for Joey Votto.
Trend Joey Votto.
Trend Joey Votto. No, this was the best thing I've ever heard in my life, and so true. I love it so much. He is talking in Votto-isms, where he's extremely sarcastic and somehow Canadian. and it's fantastic, because you don't expect this from him. And because he seems like at first he'd be like a quiet, I don't know, when I first saw Joey Votto, I thought he'd be like a very quiet Mike Trout type.
Yes.
So wrong. So wrong. So once the personality came out, I was like, this guy is great. He talks like this about literally everything. So I think he's praising Mike Trout in the most Votto-y way.
Yeah, it's clearly a compliment. If he's saying, but he's also saying that Mike Trout is so good, he's ruining it for Babe Ruth and Ted Williams, two of the greatest players ever. He's clearly not saying like, I'm so mad that Mike Trout plays baseball. I think it's more just like, this kid is amazing. Yeah. I'm playfully ribbing him. We are a bunch of dudes is how we just talk to each other.
Yes. Okay, I'm trending it as well, but I'm trending it because I think this is what makes baseball great again, is when people say things like that. And when they stir the pot, he's definitely stirring the pot with the words that he chose. He knew what he was doing.
He knows how the media is going to try to spin it.
I think it's so bizarre that anyone would react to this and assume it was negative. Like that's crazy.
I'm surprised that we haven't had more headlines that have tried to spin it the other way.
Well, people are smarter than that. But I just wanted to test you guys.
Well, we love Joey Votto. A lot.
Yes.
It's Tuesday, and according to reports, Barry Bonds is out. He is no longer the hitting coach. And apparently, that was Don Mattingly's decision. So then we also had Black Monday, where Robin Ventura and Walt Weiss and Chip Hale all got the boot. We talk about this a lot, but trend or trash, putting all the blame on these guys, and we'll specifically talk about Bonds in a second, but you know, making managers the only people who are at fault for a team's failures during the season.
That's a good one, Danny.
Wait, let me go first. Can I go first?
Okay, yes, please
so
go first.
I'm gonna trash them being booted so quickly, but at the same time, you can't trash a player that you owe millions of dollars. So if you can't fix the player, you've got to fix the person who's in charge of the player on the field.
And you're not going to fire the GM.
Yeah.
You do every once in a while, but that's, I mean, if it's not the manager, it's the GM.
And in Bonds' case, I actually, Joe Frisara was on the phone today, and he said that he kind of like fell off a little bit, the emotions and the intensity and the direction that he was giving players halfway through the season. So I could understand why Don Mattingly was like, listen, you may have increased the numbers a little bit, but it's time to, you know, we've got to make moves. We're in it to win it.
Yes. So I think that Mattingly did not like working with Bonds, because I think Bonds has a hard time taking direction and orders from other people.
I think he
has a problem with that, because he's Barry Bonds and he is this huge figure, potentially best baseball player, arguably the best baseball player
holds the home run record.
Yeah, exactly. Best hitter. So he's, and Dusty Baker was his manager for such a long time. Dusty and him were pals. I feel like he's reporting to someone now, and he's like, nah, especially after retiring for a while. He's probably not okay with that.
It's an interesting
plus
thought.
Dean Stanton, who is amazing.
Right.
Apparently Stanton didn't like working with him.
Right.
I think he has a little
struggle.
Bit of jealousy. Yeah, and to see him struggle. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not, oh, So for this whole thing, I feel like we should just trend it about, we should talk about job security in general for these people.
What are your thoughts about it?
Well, just because I feel like what you brought up some interesting points, we have to continue to like talk about those in terms of cleaning house, because some organizations, the Diamondbacks, did in fact totally clean house, you know?
And I think everyone's also been waiting for Tony La Russa. I mean, people were wondering what's going to happen to Tony La Russa.
Yeah. Well, yes, we will. But I feel like sometimes even a small change can galvanize a group of guys who maybe feel like they can't work with this person anymore. Yeah. Sometimes, not all of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the problems are so much deeper. Sometimes the problems are you have no farm system. Sometimes the problems are like you are not, there's just deeper organizational issues.
You kind of never know how it'll work.
Exactly. So, but we also have all accepted sort of that this is just what happens in sports culture.
Yeah, we have.
So that's, I mean, you try to fix what you can fix.
Yeah.
That's what
it is. I mean, the good thing is that, I mean, is this a good thing? I don't know. I'm sure it's not easy being fired after a whole season because you're in the spotlight all the time.
But you know that someone is going to pick him up.
You're going to land
somewhere.
If he wants
to be picked up, he's going to land somewhere. It's literally just a carousel.
Exactly.
It's the coaching carousel that happens in every sport.
And my feelings about Barry are just like a totally separate situation, which is that like, generally, the better of the like better you are as an athlete, the worse you are as a coach.
I think
generally.
So too. Yeah, unless
but mostly
you're a catcher.
Mostly because it comes so naturally to you that you've never needed to explain it. So then, when you come to this position of having to explain it, it's much harder to transfer that knowledge.
Yeah. So we're gonna stick with that theme. Sports on Earth. David Ubben wrote about Charlie Strong. He's in his third season at Texas. They opened the season double overtime, beating Notre Dame. Notre Dame was ranked 10th. During that time, and they've basically completely fallen off the wagon, and people are calling for Strong's head, saying that he's out at the end of the season. You know, he's working with what he has. He's only been there for three seasons. You know, they're in the Big 12, which has evolved a lot over the past couple years. So in the same sense, like, Trender Trash giving him another chance to come back one more season and do this.
I think with college, it's even more difficult because, one, you only have these kids for a couple years, so you have to help them get to a professional level so quickly. That's really, I mean, it's not truly your main focus. Your main focus is winning, but you want to mold these players so that they're ready for the next level. So I feel like
coaching is
a lot of responsibility, and you have such a short leash all the time. Like, you have two bad seasons. Yeah. Well, that could be, you can't have four bad seasons. That's a whole kid's career. So it's tough to say.
Good point.
Yeah.
Gemma?
I want to trend this for the same reason I trended the other topic, though, just because it's like,
sorry,
because you have to like be talking about why it is that all of these guys are getting tossed, you know, like what it is specifically in these cases that makes you think we need to just hit refresh on this entire enterprise, you know?
It's just so interesting to me, like, where some coaches like really shine and rise and like bring out the best and how they could go somewhere else and it not click. Like it's interesting because you would think it's the person and not the atmosphere, but maybe like there's different elements that play into it.
Definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. All right.
I feel for the man.
We're gonna move to a lighter note. So we haven't talked about the NFL in a while. We're gonna move to Richard Sherman, who was he did this great video with the Players Tribune called Point of View, talking about the safety and just like being a human in the NFL. I want to read this quote really quick. He said, "It's hard to stress player safety in such a violent game because at the end of the day, ratings sell. People want to buy tickets. People are gonna come to the games regardless. And if you're not making them money at the end of the day, they're going to find somebody else." And he talked about how the NFL feels like they changed players' lives because they come from a different background that didn't afford them the opportunities that they have now or the education or whatnot. But it was pretty just like in your face, but in a really beautiful is not the right word, but like it was pretty poignant.
It was so well done. Bravo, Players Tribune, because they're just always doing great things. But to be a star in the NFL and to be in the middle of it and then to be like, yo, y'all ain't taking care of us is amazing. And just to say it to the public.
It's crazy.
And make a video,
it honestly feels crazy.
Crazy and amazing because, you know, I don't, as a Niner fan, I hate Richard Sherman, but he is the perfect person to go out there and be like, I don't care. I'm going to like help out my like brothers on the field and I'm going to do this for the public so they know and they're aware that the NFL is doing this to us. He's the most perfect person to do that. When he talked about Cam Newton's hit, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen because it's true. You're not going to take your reigning MVP out of the game when the game's on the line. I don't care what's happening. Dude was obviously concussed.
Right.
And if those people on the sidelines aren't able to recognize that, then they should be fired and never given a job ever because they're really bad at everything, it seems like.
Yeah.
So if we could all recognize it at home that someone potentially has a concussion and these professional doctors or whatever they are cannot, wow, that's crazy. So I'm glad he mentioned that. It was just a wonderful video.
Yeah, I'm going to trend it as well. Yeah. I think everything that you said is right on. I think that we've talked about this show many times that we do not necessarily trust NFL-affiliated health professionals.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that perhaps within the organization you would trust them even less.
Mm-hmm. Except for me, I am a NFL health official. You trust me.
Because anyone can be one. You can be all my shots.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to note that this is just like another issue in the long conversation that we should be having as a society about sports stuff, like how really many of these activities enrich like a certain select people, a group of people, and that is often on the back of other injured athletes and et cetera. And that, yeah, like all those guys get paid a lot of money, but they're making so much money for a smaller group of people who benefit from, you know, keeping that health information secretive.
And the NFL is not taking care of their players after they're done with disabilities, with mental health, with anything and everything. They're not taking care of them. They're basically just tossed to the side, like Sherman said. If you're not making them money, they'll find someone else
exactly
who will make them money, and they can market them. And you're kind of just like a toy to them. And you know, you're like the Woody doll in Buzz Lightyear. And, you know, once you're older and you've grown up, you kind of, you know, you get traded for a new toy. And it's really sad. And I couldn't believe that he said those words in the middle of his season. I mean, obviously we saw Colin Kaepernick take a stand, take a knee before the season even started. No, you know, so it's these guys are speaking up. They're trying to take care of themselves, which is really nice to see.
It is great.
Rookie dress up has been a topic of conversation every year. I think since rookie dress up was a thing. And this year, it feels a little louder. The conversation feels louder, and people, because, you know, finally, I feel like people are paying attention to women and not just glazing over what we're doing and how we're contributing in the sports community. And a lot of times, most times, rookies are dressed up as a cheerleader or in a Hooters outfit or whatnot. And people are voicing their concerns that this isn't okay, so trend or trash, rookies dressing up as women and in turn making it seem like they're demoralizing women because you had to dress up and that's what they chose.
I trash this.
Which part do you trash?
Not the discussion that we're having. I think it's good.
Yeah.
I trash rookie dress up as women. Like, I've seen rookie dress ups when they just dress up as superheroes.
Yeah.
Or like wear unitards or something. But I think, like, the question that really needs to be asked here, and many people are failing to ask this of themselves, is why is it funny to see a man dressed as a woman? Like, why would that humiliate a man to be dressed as a woman? And since if some of the issues that have been brought up is like, oh, it's clubhouse bonding, whatever, I'm sure that anyone can find another outfit that doesn't also ask, like, you have to get down to the root of the joke.
Right.
You know? And, like, friend of the show, Chris Mosier, tweeted about it.
Yeah.
So this isn't okay. Like, this isn't appropriate, you know?
This
brings up a lot of
love you, Chris.
Issues. Yeah, you're great. Come back on. But, so I think that's really the problem that many people are failing to acknowledge when the defense is, oh, but teams should bond. I have no disagreement with that. I think teams should bond. I just think it's not any less fun to, like, all dress up as minions instead, you know?
Yeah.
Or just wear, like, overalls or something. Like, just something else silly. You can do something else other than say, it's so funny when men dress as women. Like, why is it? Oh, they can be, the Cubs do it all the time. They wear onesies, they wear stupid outfits, whatever. But, like, that's all fine. It's just, if you are making this joke, and someone, and, like, 50% of the population might be hurt by it, then maybe just make a different joke. Like, no one wants to take the bonding aspect away.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about that.
I'm going to trash this for a different reason. I agree with you. But I'm going to trash this because I'm sick of seeing it. I don't care anymore. That's the problem. Like, it was so much fun when you first heard about, like, the little backpack that the, like, bullpen rookies had to, like, carry with everyone's stuff in it. It was fun when Madden made everyone wear, like, weird tuxedo, like, unitards and stuff. But now it's like everyone does it, and like that's fine. I'm sure everyone has been doing it for a very long time. But now it's like a national days. Like I love tacos.
Yes.
But every day is a national something. Like tomorrow is probably national sloth
Hopefully
day,
it's
and that's
like
great. I love sloths, but I'm not gonna post a photo of a sloth because tomorrow's national sloth day. You know, like so it's getting so repetitive and annoying. Just it feels like it's just for likes. You know, literal likes on Twitter and Facebook.
It's an interesting point.
So I'm sick of it because it's losing its novelty.
Okay, those are really good points. So I think too, like something to bring up is that campaign. You know, you
there's a sloth.
Yeah, there's a sloth.
It's a sloth.
It's not sloth day.
I love sloth.
I checked. You know, you play ball like a girl. You throw like a girl. You mm-hmm. do this like a girl. And when there are women who do the same things that you're doing with maybe a softball that's a little bit bigger and different colored,
yeah.
they're doing the same exact thing, and you are kind of mocking them and saying that, well, you know, you're not good enough to be dressed up as a man or a minion or a pineapple, but we're going to make you into a woman, because that's really what's really funny. So both your points, obviously, I agree with. I don't want to see it go away, and I don't think it should just be for the team. Like, I think that it should, I think people should be able to see it, because it reminds you that they're humans and that they do funny things and they're friends, because sometimes you don't know. I like all those things, but I think there's literally zero reason to dress up in a cheerleading outfit. Like, there's negative reasons, in fact, to be doing things like that. And when you have girls who want to play baseball, what would you do if you know, hypothetically, if there was a female player in the Cubs locker room
then
who was on the Cubs team,
guys
would she wear guys? Yeah, like,
and
would you make
her dress? That's a really good way to think about
yeah,
it, because
exactly.
then you think backwards, like, well, why would it not be funny if she did that? Because
right.
that's because of the different way that men and women are perceived in our society.
Yes,
so,
right.
like,
exactly.
one thing is a joke and the other isn't.
Yeah.
And if you can understand why it's not funny to maybe have, like, a women's softball team all dress as dudes, then maybe you can understand why it would be maybe considered offensive
right.
to have a bunch of men dress as women.
So I think the trend will continue. Teams will keep doing this, but the climate is changing, as Ashley mentioned, and we hope
yes.
to see humans shining a light maybe in a different way and being perceived better than what we're seeing right now. So that's it for Walk It Off, our Trend or Trash postseason edition. We are going to be back next week because there's going to be so much to talk about. So much. It's going to be awesome, and we're going to cover it all. So come back, come hang out with us, and we'll see you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit.